Well, hello everyone and welcome to your NARSA weekly update for the week commencing Monday the 18th of March 2024. It's Gary here again. Thanks very much for joining me on this week, which kind of sees the end of a bit of a weird week for us, doesn't it? You know, it was just kind of strange overall. You know, our European campaign ended and normally that would be a little bit of a moment where we would be well within our rights to get a wee bit upset about that and you know, count out what went wrong and get a little bit melancholy about it. But it wasn't really like that. We had a situation where we were proud of the team, we were happy with what we seen, as happy as we could be with what we seen on the pitch, and very appreciative of the efforts that took us to get us to the last 16 in a major European tournament. Then we're supposed to kind of go into the international break on a bit of a high. And it just didn't work out like that, did it? Unfortunately. Well, I don't even know if you can call it unfortunate. It sounds completely incompetent as to the way that everything kind of unfolded there. So we'll get on with the game segment here. I think it's going to be a bit of a shorter pod this week because we've only got the one game and the club seems to be a little bit sleepy in terms of ongoing communications as well. So yeah, one game last week, and that was the aforementioned 1-0 defeat at home. A very rare European defeat for us over the last 5 or 6 years in European competition. I think that was maybe the fourth time, something like that. And that was in, of course, the last 16 of the Europa League, as I mentioned just a wee bit ago there. The weather was horrendous again, wasn't it? Like, just bizarrely, you know, absolutely teeming with rain, certainly for the majority, or all the first half it looked like, and maybe just a wee bit into the second. And I think we really gave a good account of ourselves. We really gave it as good a go as we possibly could, and we lost an unfortunate breakaway goal that I think the entire world that were watching that had assumed it was a mile offside, because that's exactly what it looked like on first view, on the live view. And then, of course, it was proven otherwise. A guy was well inside his own area. And, of course, everyone who knows the rules knows that you can't be offside if the ball is passed to you in your own area. And that was it. And at the time, I thought, man, that's just ridiculous. Like, letting the guy go through. That guy could have got injured. One of our players could have got injured. It's just such a bad rule, such a waste of time. And lo and behold, that's where VAR works. It works very, very well, and they got the goal that they deserve to get in terms of, you know, being a legal goal. And you know, we had our chances in the game, I think, and at this elite level, which is truly what this is, it's about taking the chances, and you know, when they come our way, and we just didn't. We didn't really have enough up top, I don't think, over the course of both of the games, unfortunately, and I don't think we really heeded the warnings that we had been given before, where they had breakaway attacks from our corners at least one time, you know, before in the immediate vicinity before the actual goal that they scored. And yeah, we just seemed to get ourselves at sixes and sevens, didn't seem to be able to come back properly, as I say, didn't heed the warning that we were already given, and then they go up, and the guy, it was a good finish, to be very fair, the guy taking it in and then scoring. It was a very, very tight tie over the two legs. And I have to admit, and this is not me being a downer or doom and gloom or anything, for anyone who knows me, that's not my style during games. I get a wee bit frustrated now and again, but for the most part, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. But during the game, it just felt that we had just got to that spot where we couldn't muster up anything else to give ourselves that opportunity to actually score. There wasn't really that many true goal scoring opportunities. I don't think we worked their goalie a whole hell of a lot over the game, and I just don't think we had enough in the tank. And it seems to be that weather did us a bit of a bad turn, because I felt that in the first leg as well, especially the second half of the first leg, where when it kind of stopped raining, it looked like we were the ones that were very, very leggy. And to be very, very fair to the team, they played a lot of football since the turn of the year, since the return from the winter break there, and the team are looking a little bit tired, and we, as I say, we just didn't have enough gas in the tank to get us over the line on the night. And it's just one of these things, you know. I think we can look at back at the tie and look at the actual genuine facts of what happened in the tie. And what happened in the tie is they got a penalty that really shouldn't have been a penalty, you know. And it did strike his arm, but he headed it onto his arm. And the general consensus from anything I've read since then has been that that's not supposed to be a penalty. especially if the player's not looking at that. And then, of course, that bizarre own goal that Connor Goldson scored. I've still no idea what he was trying to do. I'm assuming trying to head it over or head it away from danger, and he bulleted it into our net. So dodgy penalty, very unfortunate own goal, and then a goal that, you know, looked offside but wasn't. It's the kind of story, fine lines, the tight margins at this elite level, as I mentioned, and it's just one of these things. On the positives, I think overall our European run this season overall was fantastic. It was the Europa League, we've said it before, it's the level we like to compete at. We actually do compete at that level. No one would be looking forward to playing us home or away, quite frankly. And once again, that we have proven that we are undoubtedly the European kings of Scotland. We gave a really good team from the upper echelons of the Portuguese league a really good game and a really tight game, and they'll know that they were in a game, and we stepped it up when we needed to throughout the campaign, you know, and for us to, you know, to look back and look at our victory in Spain against Betis and topping the group and, you know, getting the rewards that come with that, you know, not having to play the Champions League teams and, you know, two less games that we had to play. It's been a tremendous season in terms of European football and European competition for us. And in this game, you know, to be really, really fair to the team, we kept trying, we kept on at it, we kept going and going and going, and it wasn't, you know, the fact that we're out of Europe now was not, definitely not due to a lack of effort on the team or the squad's behalf at all. It was just one of these things. I thought another positive was the players and the fans' reaction at the end of the game. You know, for us to get clapped and sung off of the pitch after a defeat, I had mentioned this on the communications WhatsApp group, you know, that's a testimony to where we are. You know, the fans appreciate the work that we've been doing, the product that we've been putting on the pitch, the adversities that we've faced on the pitch, and the fact that we're still managing to get through and do what we want to do, which is obviously be successful. That's really helped us out, and it was good to see. You didn't really get an opportunity to see that too much in general terms, but then of course when it's on DAZN, which is here in Canada, or Paramount Plus, I think it is in the States, you know, you don't get to hear the fans like we do on TV coverage back home, and then it kind of cut off pretty quickly afterwards. But got to see some footage of that afterwards, and it's great to see. That's genuine support. That's why we're the best in the business, you know. And I think it's just a sign of togetherness from everyone, from the leadership to the management team to the players, and it's, you know, we gave as good as we could with the players that were available to us, and I think that's a key part of that. We were the walking wounded. When you start to bring on returning players returning from longer term injuries, and you start to bring on players who are injury prone or who are probably still injured, that's a sign, isn't it? You know, we're threadbare a little bit on the squad right now. The guys that were there did their very level best to give us a wee bit of an opportunity to go through, and we just came up a wee bit short. Nothing to be distraught about or anything other than proud. And that's certainly the way that I feel anyway. So yeah, it was good, and it's one of these things. The negatives, you know, I mentioned it a wee bit earlier there. We didn't learn the lessons. They had a couple of breakaways on our corner kicks, and we just didn't seem to be able to react to that, I guess is probably the best way to say it, which is a wee bit daft. But that's okay for us watching it. Obviously, they didn't mean that, and it wasn't part of the plan. But we didn't really threaten from our set pieces, and then we gave them threatening opportunities after that. So that's probably something that Philippe and the team would take a look at that. But other than that, nothing really negative. Obviously, we wanted to win the game. We wanted to go through and continue with all the benefits that we get. But having at least two, maybe four, maybe five games more against elite level competition is probably a little bit of a step too far for this existing squad for right now. So last 16 is a good return for a European campaign, and we'll take that. We'll take all the benefits that come from that, and we'll move on and be better for it. In terms of the stats, it was 59% possession to us, which was obviously a marked improvement on the 30-odd% last week when we were in Lisbon. We had 6 attempts on goal, 3 on target. They had 9 attempts on goal, 4 on target. You know, quite a good game, you know, an entertaining game to watch. And on the referee watch, I don't even remember the guy's name. I've seen that referee before, and I thought he did well. I don't think there was a lot to be disjointed about in terms of the referee's performance or anything that he had to call or any undue negative influence that he had on the game. So he did what he had to do. So he'll get the obligatory 7 out of 10 for that. Nothing more, nothing less. Our second game, here we go, was supposed to be against Dundee yesterday, of course, and you'll remember this. And it was supposed to be against Dundee until it wasn't, because the pitch was deemed unplayable. What was that? Probably about a couple of hours before kickoff time, maybe a bit less than that, and the pitch was unplayable. You see the photographs, of course, the pitch was unplayable, but the key part is, I mean, obviously, we were a wee bit fortunate because we don't show, or we haven't been showing this season, the early game kickoffs down at the pub. We've just given everybody an RTV voucher, and they get to watch it at home, apart from the Old Firm games, that is, of course. But, so one little blessing is that we didn't actually go down and, you know, get ourselves organised for that. We would have found out before we left to actually go down to the pub anyway. But I found out this morning that that's the fourth time this season that this has happened, the third time in the league. And, you know, they had a couple of call-offs around about the Christmas period there. And it's just tin pot stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's cost Sky a lot of money, probably about £100,000. It cost Rangers money in terms of, you know, travelling. It cost the fans money. It probably cost Dundee money. And, you know, of course, with this being scheduled to be on Sky Sports, it's just it's a black eye for the Scottish game. And you know, we all want to see the game. I mean, selfishly, we wanted to play against Dundee, hopefully have a similar performance as we did the last time at Dens Park, score a barrel load of goals, go back to the top of the league and go into the international break on a bit of a high. We didn't get that opportunity. And they were blaming the weather, and I heard that their chairman came out and said, oh, we'd have been able to do this a little bit later on. Like, get a grip. You know, it's just, as I say, tin pot, hick town, potato farming garbage from a provincial club, really, you know. And initially, I have to admit, I was a little bit groggy in the morning, so I thought there was a conspiracy, some sort of conspiracy. I'm starting to sound like them, aren't I? But, you know, a little bit of a conspiracy in terms of, you know, what they're vying for the top six. You know, they're with a good opportunity of getting to the top six, and there's a lot of financial incentive to be able to get to the top six. So I was starting to think, you know, is this something where they've decided, well, we can't have the game because we've got a couple of players injured or suspended or something like that, but apparently not. And you know what, it didn't, not playing against a team of, you know, cloggers on a potato field with a threadbare squad is probably not the worst thing. You know, we'll lament it a little bit, you know, when the game gets rescheduled and we have a midweek game when other people don't, I'm sure, but it's maybe not the worst thing that happened. It was just the circumstances in which it happened, and the fact that they have precedent for this, and nothing seems to have been done. The SPFL, my understanding is they are going to be investigating this to try and find out, you know, a little bit of what happened, but it's just not good enough. It's nowhere near good enough. It's just gross incompetence, as I say, by a provincial club, quite frankly. And I don't mean to be insulting, but that's what they are. That's what they're acting like, and that's what they've proven to be. So hopefully they will face some sort of retribution or punishment for this, and then we'll just need to get the game rescheduled. At the time of recording right now, it's 12:22, and I haven't heard when it's going to be rescheduled for, but I guess with us not being in Europe anymore, it should be a wee bit easier. But as I mentioned there, we will have a midweek game probably when no one else does, as a direct result of that, and that's not cool. You know, that's something that it should and could have been avoidable, and it's just one of these things. So anyway, we'll take the silver lining of not having to play on such a field, and we have that game, and hopefully we'll get more players back for the next time, and we'll really take them to task and give them a little bit of a doing on that. Just another wee quickie, you'll know now that we did, of course, make it to the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup, and that's now been confirmed for Sunday, the 21st of April. I did say last week that it would have been kind of cool if we'd have got the Saturday game so that we get to play on the fresh pitch and such, but they decided it was going to be the Sunday. But the good part of that is it's going to be a 3 p.m. UK time kickoff, so not too bad for us over here in North America. So something to look forward to. And as you know, as I mentioned a couple of times here, we are now in the midst of the international break, so that means we have zero games this week. So what I'll do, I'll take advantage of the fact that we can turn our dedicated attentions to the women's team, and you'll probably have seen by now that unfortunately they slipped to a 2-1 defeat against Celtic women's team yesterday, and that was away from home, and they only lead the league now. I mean, silver linings, they're still leading the league, but the gap is not what it was before. It's only 1 point now. And if you take a peek at the league table, Glasgow City have come from absolutely nowhere. I don't know how they've managed. I mean, they just keep winning. And they're now tied in second spot. They are, you know, just a point behind Rangers. So they're absolutely a form team right now. And when you look at the record of the Rangers women's team, there's cracks starting to show, isn't there? And I'm not 100% sure why. I don't know if they've got a series of injuries or they're just getting very tired or they're just buying out of form. But in the last four games, even just looking at that stat, there's been one win, two draws and one defeat. That's a lot of points to give up. That's 7 points right there, you know. So no wonder they're only leading the league by the 1 point. Hopefully they can use this as some sort of catalyst to get better and get themselves back on the winning trail, because they want to win this league. Of course they want to win this league. I think I'd mentioned a month or so ago, that's then pretty much wrapped it up, because, you know, they don't lose games and they're scoring a barrel load of goals, and that's kind of stopped as well. So hopefully a bit of a blip or a bit of a turning point for the team. And they do actually have a very big game this coming weekend. It's the Sky Sports Cup final versus Partick Thistle this coming Sunday. That's at Tynecastle with a 1:30 p.m. UK kickoff time. So if you have access to Sky Sports, you'll be able to get to see the game live. I don't know that I'll get to see it live. I don't have access to Sky Sports, but hopefully get a chance to at least see the highlights on YouTube, the official channel, after the game is done, and hopefully with Rangers picking up the trophy. For RTV for this last week, we actually didn't have any RTV dealings because the game was on the other IPTV channels, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the zone for us, Paramount in the States there, and then we didn't get a chance to see anything on RTV yesterday because of Dundee and their stupidity and incompetence. On the shout-outs, I did want to give a bit of a shout-out here to our good friend David Edgar from the Heart and Hand, a Rangers podcast network, and him and a few of the boys, or maybe boys and girls, I'm not 100% sure who's all going down, but they have their first ever London show this week, this coming Thursday, and it's a very special one, with Gaza being the guest of honour, and they're going to be doing a bit of a Q&A and signing autographs and getting photographs and stuff like that taken as well. So good luck to David and everyone who's making it down for that. That's the sort of thing I would love to go to. Absolutely, I would love that, to get a chance to go. And I know that there are still some tickets, so if you're in or around the London area and maybe for whatever reason hadn't heard of it, you know, you can just look up Heart and Hand. I think it's heartandhand.co.uk. You can see the events. You'll get a chance to purchase some tickets there if you want to go along and see the legend that is Gaza. And just another shout out, just it's always good to see ex-Rangers doing well, and I looked on with interest that Ahmad Diallo scored the winner in basically the last kick of the ball almost. Well, it actually wasn't, because the referee kept it going for a wee while, but you know, in the last minute of extra time in the quarterfinal or FA Cup tie between Man United and Liverpool, he came on as a sub. He got himself the most stupid of bookings by blocking the guy from taking a free kick. Like, that's a booking 100% of the time. And then he scores a goal and rips his shirt off. That's also a booking 100% of the time. So he came on, he got booked twice, he scored the winner, and that's him banned for the semi-final now. Oh my word. But, you know, he came up, he did his best with us a couple of years back. I was really, really rooting for him when he was playing with us, you know, just desperate for him to do better. He did okay, but he never really set the heather on fire for us, unfortunately, and ended up being a bit of an unsuccessful season, of course. But yeah, good for him. And it's always nice to see that Rangers have a wee bit of a stake in the game in terms of his ongoing development, for him to go on the biggest stage and do what he did. And then just another shout out, of course, for Toronto Midtown Rangers Supporters Club's cultural night with the Pride of the Birchies accordion band, and that's on Friday the 19th of July. Once again, no cover charge, but if you do email them at tmrsc1998@outlook.com just to reserve your spot, that would be a good idea. And that is, of course, at Gatherings Resto Bar, which is at 49 St Clair Avenue West. It sounds like a long time away, folks, and it's not going to be. It's going to be one of these things where I'm going to blink and I'm going to say, oh my word, this is this week, and the people will start to scramble. So if you get your dibs in there at the beginning, then at least you know what you're going to be doing on the 19th of July. In terms of the convention update, we are very, very close now. Just actually very, very early yesterday morning, we got what is probably going to be a final draft of a proposed contract that I have to spend some time going through. I'll hopefully get a chance to do that tonight, if not tonight, first thing tomorrow morning, and we could be in a position to be signing this very, very quickly and then getting on with our overall communication. So it's time that I need to reach out to the club and get our planning organised. And you know, we have a lot of irons in the fire, or a lot of people with input into this particular convention. Of course, it's our convention. We have ourselves, we have the Orlando Rangers Supporters Club, we have Rangers Football Club, we have Five Stars, and we have Heart and Hand as well. So yes, it's a real collaborative effort, this one, which is going to be great, and hopefully it's going to mean a fantastic event. In fact, I know for a fact it will mean it's a fantastic event, and hopefully a wee bit of a lighter workload for myself and the NARSA crew as well. You know, that would be, it'd be nice to have other people kind of take a wee bit of the workload and give us a wee opportunity to actually enjoy the events as we would be wont to do. So very, very close on that. Maybe by this time next week, I'll have an opportunity to provide you with some details as to exactly when it is, where it's going to be, and what you can expect when you get there in terms of the early stage planning. And then we'll look to get the tickets on sale as quickly as we possibly can too. So really looking forward to that. A lot of work it's taken by the entire team to get us to this spot, and I'm very grateful for that. And I'm looking forward to moving on to the next stage, because as I mentioned before, it's a wee bit weird not having a convention looming, and you know, without there being a worldwide pandemic, of course. And it's just one of the unfortunate things that we'll just need to see how the season pans out and see if there's anything in terms of gatherings that we could maybe organise at relatively short notice, but it won't be convention-esque. On to the communications. Not a lot on the club site. They actually didn't have the Jers guide published by the time I started recording, but there won't be a lot of information there. You'll get to see that you get to see the loan review, you'll get to see other bits and pieces that they have there, but there's of course no press conferences, no games, and there'll be obviously stuff on the women's side as well. So I suspect that you'll see a wee bit more focus on that this week as we lead up to the Sky Sports Cup final this coming Sunday. But other than that, I didn't see a whole hell of a lot on the Rangers site. I did mention last week that we're going to be doing our first ever Euro pool, our major football competition pool, and Bobby Jameson has been kind enough to send me over some of the details. I didn't get a chance to look at it, bit of a busy weekend, but I do have that information now, so more information will follow on that. I'll get a chance to read it properly, digest it, see if there's any changes or anything we need to make, and then we'll be in a position to be able to get that out there once we know after this international break what the actual games are. Of course, there's still a few spots up for grabs, and that's the whole point of the international break. It's the playoffs for the teams that are still involved in that. So I'll be a bit more information about that pool next time, and probably what's this going to be the second last time I'll just do a bit of a plug for the International Coaches Convention the club are running over at the Rangers Training Centre. That's on the 27th to the 31st of this month, and it's a 5-day event, £495 per person. And if you just go and look up the academies, you get information to see that, but you'll get an opportunity to learn how the best do it, and we do have some of the best folks in our ranks in terms of the coaching work that the Soccer Academy does. So you know, good luck to Ian and Gary for all the work they're doing there, and I'm sure that's going to be a fantastic event. And another wee plug for the NARSA newsletter that Lorraine has been popping out. There were a couple of typos last week, whoops, but we'll get there. It's very small font sometimes, so it's a bit difficult to see, but if there's anything you'd like to see in there in terms of a feature club, in terms of an event that you're putting on, in terms of anything you want that would give us an opportunity to feature and showcase what you have going on, please don't hesitate to reach out. That's the whole point of doing this. We'll get an opportunity to get that into the hands of our membership. And just another wee one on the One Voice book that I've still to get that organised. I've been a little bit delinquent on that, but I want to get the book, and then I want to be able to read the book and then have a better interview with Mr. David Holmes on that. So it's definitely on my list of things to do, and maybe I'll get an opportunity to get on that during the international break here. Okie dokie, a wee bit longer than I actually thought it was going to be, you know, hitting the kind of 25 minute mark here almost. I thought it would be about 18, but that will do it for this week, my friends. As always, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you very, 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 very much for tuning in, and please do share it with someone that you think needs a little bit of verbal diarrhea poured into their ears on a weekly basis. No, don't undersell yourself, Gary. This is good quality edutainment right here. And let's just enjoy the break. Let's see who we get back in terms of our injuries, and hopefully the players get that well-deserved break and come back absolutely firing on all cylinders after the break. Until next week, my friends, take care of yourself and all the very best, okay? Cheerio now.